From the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugarland, Texas, where life truly is sweeter. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Monday, February 5th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Yourself, defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. And since it is Monday, let's do that Monday march back to work, all right? Be careful with yourself, though. Don't hurt anything, right? Just straighten out that backbone, force a smile on your face, and keep a prayer on your lips. Everything will be okay. Let's get things officially started with
the Daily Datagram.
Indeed. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, one of the most important things in communication is to hear what's not being said. This is especially true when it's the government that's doing the talking.
Trust me, I know I'm good at this stuff.
Let's move along now with the so-called educational part of the blogcast.
Twisted history.
This should be good.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history. Some cool, some not so cool.
To be sure.
Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
See, there you go. That's the disclaimer, by the way. You have been warned. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1907, Belgian chemist Leo Baekeland announced the creation of Bakelite, the world's first synthetic plastic. And if you're old enough, you may remember the old Bakelite telephones. You might have had one in your house. And that sucker was heavy. And if you dropped it on your foot, oh, Lord, did that hurt.
Oh.
And on this day in 1958, a hydrogen bomb known as the Tybee bomb was lost by the U.S. Air Force off the coast of Savannah, Georgia, never to be recovered. Meaning that thing is still out there under all that water somewhere.
This is so creepy.
If you are a gun rights advocate or an NRA member like me, you know a fellow by the name of Colin Noir. Well, his real name is Collins Yar Idahen Jr. But he's known as Colin Noir on the World Wide Web. You see him all over YouTube. He's an American gun rights activist, a lawyer, and host of the web series Noir. In 2013, the NRA recruited him to appear in NRA news videos. And later that year, he appeared at the big NRA convention here in Houston, which I attended. Now, he was born in 1983. He got a BA at the University of Houston and then went to the Thurgood Marshall School of Law at TSU. And he's got a JD. So we're talking about a fellow who's pretty smart. And I love his videos because the man is a true American. Some people are taken aback by the fact that he's black, but he's a good conservative, I think. I don't really know nothing about his politics other than what I've been able to get from his videos. But he sounds like somebody you would want close to you. You know, he'll watch your back and you're just naturally going to watch his. I think the term for that was neighbor. That's the way we used to be with our neighbors. We used to look out for each other. I think that concept started to go by the wayside back in the 1950s and 60s when they stopped building houses with porches on the front. But I get a big kick out of this guy's videos. He's smart as a whip. And having that law degree certainly doesn't hurt at all. So he takes that, along with his general knowledge of life in these United States, and he makes some excellent points. You know, one side of me says, boy, it'd be great if he would go into politics. But then, you know what politics does to people? It corrupts them. So I think he does more good doing what he's doing. Kind of reminds me of Tucker Carlson. Well, I have an excellent piece, a short clip, from one of Joe Rogan's recent podcasts. By the way, Rogan just re-signed with Spotify. Lucrative deal, multi-year deal. And it's an even better deal than the one he had, because it's going to give him an opportunity to make more money than he's already making, which is a fortune. I admire people like that. I wish I had more of that marketing ability in me to be able to make some money. I'd love to be able to make money off of these podcasts of mine. But, you know, here again, I have this fear that if I take in sponsors and I have people help me produce this by underwriting the cost of producing this, that somebody somewhere is going to tell me what I can and can't say. And I want nothing to do with that. But it would be nice to have an income from these podcasts so that I could bring in some guests or go to visit guests on the scene. Because really, the most brilliant people in the world are the ones who work for a living, pay their taxes, support their families, prop up their marriages. Those are the most brilliant people in the world. If you're looking to the world of politics for brilliance, forget it. Politics in this country and almost every country in the world. I mean, we're not, it's not a situation of free enterprise versus communism or socialism anymore. All forms of government are corrupt. Politics is corrupt. So if you want somebody who's not corrupt, you need somebody like these independent-minded people. I look at Vivek Ramaswamy as one of those, independent. He certainly doesn't need the money. Neither does Donald Trump. There are a few people like that out there. Tucker Carlson, another one. But the problem is, anytime somebody like that tries to enter the political fray, what happens? They are ganged up upon. They are attacked mercilessly by the corrupt establishment. You know, back when I was a kid and I used to rail about the establishment, I didn't really understand what the establishment was or who they were. But now I do. So here we have a couple of other fellas that are really pretty brilliant. You've got Joe Rogan here with Colleen Noir, and they were just bantering back and forth about the state of the country right now, the open border, politics in general, how to fix things. And first voice you hear is Joe Rogan. And they're talking about what's going on with Texas and the
border. It's kind of a gangster move by Abbott.
I mean,
it's pretty gangster. If you're dealing with the border, and the border is where you are, mm-hmm. and everyone's like, we are a sanctuary. Sure, like, oh, are you?
Yeah, right.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I got an idea. What is going on? Have you been paying attention to this standoff between Texas and the Biden administration in terms of the border? Like, Texas has put up barbed wire, mm-hmm. and the Biden administration wants the barbed wire taken down.
I'll be honest and tell you, I haven't been following it super close, which is odd because I'm Texas born and raised. And the weird thing is living in Dallas, you're almost still kind of disconnected from what's going on at the border a little
right.
bit because you're so far north.
Right.
But even in Houston, because you know I'm in Houston a lot too, it's not something that you're confronted with daily. But anybody from Texas, usually at some point in time, you're gonna go towards the border, and you're gonna see it for yourself. But what I do know of it, I mean, at this point, we're trying not to lose control of it. Essentially, from what I can gather,
what is happening?
I don't know.
Whose idea is it?
In terms of what?
Who's letting this happen? Like, who's... It seems very organized. These people know the border's open, so mm-hmm. they know they can just walk through.
I think there's a lot of virtue signaling, I think, involved in all of the whole, like you talking about with New York saying, you know, we're a sanctuary city. Just, yes, we accept everyone to come in, just not our state and our city.
Right.
Right? And so I think you have that combined with the reality of what happens when you have a border that honestly is not being checked, right? So if you have a situation where you have people who are able to just come in and leave as they, I wouldn't necessarily say leave, but coming into a state, and it's a choke point because a lot of it is coming in through Texas. So, you know, it's easy to have that philosophy of, oh, you know, leave the border, don't make the border, get rid of the barbed wire, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because we want to seem as if we are welcoming to everyone. And I don't think it's a matter of not wanting to be welcoming. I think it has a lot to do with the same reason why you have a front door with locks on it on your house.
Yeah.
Right? at least have a checkpoint to say, okay, well, if you want to come in, I need to know who I'm dealing with.
Well, did you see they had this one guy that was on video that he said, you will see who I am soon. And then they found out he's on like some terrorist watch list or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, terrific.
So you have to wonder, who is facilitating all of this, this open border policy? I mean, did this come from the addled brain of Joe Biden? No, it did not. So I maintain, again, this is being hatched out of the mind of Barack Hussein Obama, who's really running the show. Anybody who can't see that, I'm sorry. You're not watching the world around you. Wake up and smell this coffee, my friend. This is being hatched out of the mind of Barack Hussein Obama and his mafia, his little personal mafia, which is a pretty good-sized mafia. These people are terrible. You know, actually, I have more respect, and I used to say this back when Obama was president. I have more respect for the mafia because at least they have an honor system. But there's no honor within the Obama administration, which is what we are living under. We are living under the Obama administration, sometimes referred to it as O'Biden. And that's what this is. It's Obama and Biden. O'Biden. And they want that border open with the idea in mind, two things. They want to destroy the country, number one. But they believe that by letting all of these illegals in and then giving them the right to vote, they will vote Democrat. But I'm going to call them on that. They may be wrong. Have you been paying attention to what's happening down in Argentina? Their new president? This guy's good. And he's waking up the world. He just pinned the ears of the World Economic Forum back very recently. Stood up there and basically called them at their crap. Now, if people in that part of the world are voting for people like, what's his name, Milei? Milei, I think it is, down there in Argentina. Then these people coming into our country illegally and who are facing some terrific odds against them getting in, not just the razor wire. I mean, there are natural forces, too, that they've had to work against. And they want to come here? I wouldn't count on them voting for the Democrats. Certainly not universally. There's going to be a lot of them voting for Republicans. But then again, we have a situation in this country where both parties are corrupt. The Republican Party is corrupt. The Democrat Party is corrupt. They are in corruption up to their nose holes. And that's not going to change. Not anytime soon, anyhow. And the thing is, the left, the extreme left, the Obama bots are going to do anything and everything they can to prevent Donald Trump from taking the White House. And again, I need to stress, that includes assassination. One of the many informative bulletins that I get on a daily basis comes from an outfit called FreshOffThePress.org. And they write that in a move that has sent shockwaves through the community of firearm enthusiasts and constitutional advocates, recent developments suggest that the current administration's on the verge of implementing a policy that could severely infringe on the Second Amendment rights of American citizens. Now, I'm not what you would call a gun enthusiast, really. I mean, I don't use firearms for sport in any way, shape, or form. But I am an enthusiast of the Second Amendment. And I'm an NRA member. So naturally, this kind of concerns me, but it doesn't shock me because our federal government, particularly when it's under the direction of Democrats or the left, is constantly looking for new ways to curb gun ownership, gun usage, and gun manufacture. They want to make this nation of ours a gunless society because in some twisted form of their thinking, they believe that if you just make guns unavailable, people won't get shot. There won't be school shooters. Okay, let's give you that part of the argument. Let's just say you somehow successfully found a way to remove all guns from American soil. Then what? Well, you get a sociopath who wants to kill a lot of people. What's he going to do? Make a pipe bomb? Or worse? God only knows. So when somebody has it in their head they want to kill a lot of people, they're going to do it, whether you have guns or not. The guns are not really the issue. And particularly gun owners aren't the issue. Well, now we have whistleblowers who've come forward with some pretty interesting allegations that point to a clandestine effort to prohibit the private sale of firearms, which is actually a cornerstone of gun ownership here in the good old USA. Now, the whispers from within the corridors of power indicate that a 1,300-page document has been drafted, and it's under the guidance of the White House. And it just basically aims to justify a new rule, yet another rule, that would effectively outlaw the private transaction of firearms. Now, what they're hoping to accomplish by this really is beyond me. But this proposed regulation would basically mark a shift in the landscape of gun ownership, because it would require federal government approval. You heard that right. Federal government approval for transactions that have traditionally been private affairs. So imagine a scenario where you have a law-abiding citizen who can no longer purchase a hunting shotgun from a close friend without first seeking the blessing of the federal government or some kind of a bureaucratic agency within. Now, a requirement like that not only adds layers of complexity to a straightforward exchange, but also sets a dangerous precedent where the government inserts itself into the personal lives and choices of everyone, including you. No, especially you. I could see this snowballing into an affair, for instance, where you want to sell your car. You want to sell your car to your nephew. You want to sell the car for a buck to your nephew, so that your nephew doesn't have to pay huge taxes on the car, just has to insure it, license it, and drive it. Well, now they're going to want the federal government to get into that too. Well, there are critics out there of this, of course, and they argue that this kind of government overreach, and that's exactly what it is, it's overreach, is precisely the tyranny that the founding fathers of the country that we live in, the country that we love, the writers of our Constitution warned against. So the potential ruling wouldn't emerge from a legislative process involving elected representatives, but rather from an executive action, bypassing the democratic avenues designed to protect the freedoms of Americans. So when I tell you that this administration is being run by Barack Obama, believe it. Because Barack Obama was a huge devotee of executive actions, executive orders. The man was a dictator. Nobody's got the balls to say that, but it's exactly what he was. He is. He is a dictator. And he is, even though he's no longer a president, he's still inserting himself into presidential affairs. And he's going to continue to do it. So, let's go back to this policy. The very implications of this kind of a policy are really far-reaching. And then, you know, to see where this is likely to go, look at history. You want to look at the future? Look at history. If you want to look at the time ahead of you, look at the time behind you. And history's often shown that when governments begin to encroach upon the rights to bear arms, for instance, it's usually a precursor to further erosions of just plain old civil liberties. The right to privately own and sell firearms isn't just a matter of personal interest, but it's, boy, I never use this word, but it's a bulwark against the overextension of state power. And this looming policy has already sparked a call to action by those who hold the Second Amendment in high regard. This is why we have an NRA. So you have advocates for gun rights rallying to naturally oppose what we all view as one of the most egregious violations of constitutional freedoms in recent history. This is big stuff, my friend. And they're arguing that the right to bear arms isn't merely about the ability to hunt or engage in recreational shooting, but it's fundamentally about the ability of citizens to defend themselves and maintain a balance of power with their government. And by the way, in reference to my argument about, well, these people on the left think that if you remove guns from the country, schools won't get shot up. That is not what this is about in their heads. In the head of the leftists, removing guns from our society would prevent you and me from enforcing our Constitution. Something very interesting happened the other night. It was Friday night on Bill Maher's HBO program. And a rapper was on the program known as Killer Mike. And he stunned Maher by refusing to back Joe Biden in the election race against Donald Trump. Now, make no mistake about it, Bill Maher is brilliant. He's very, very brilliant. Anybody who can write the way he does is really sharp. But he squarely has his head up his backside because he is so anti-Trump. Of course, he's not anti-conservative, he's anti-Republican. And I kind of understand that because when you consider that both political parties are corrupt, you know. But that's why Trump is hated. Trump is hated because both political parties are corrupt and he wants to clean that up. Good luck, but that's what he wants to do. So that just naturally makes me want to vote for Trump. And Trump's going to win this thing if he can stay alive. And I mean that literally, if he can stay alive. But for some reason, Bill Maher just cannot bring himself to vote for any conservative. So, never mind Bill Maher's Harvard education. In fact, if anything, I think Bill Maher should go back to Harvard and ask for his tuition money back. Because it is. It's not an institution of higher learning. It's an institution of higher indoctrination. Right now, Harvard is the single greatest argument for keeping your kids out of college and putting them through trade schools. Seriously. Why do you think we Americans don't build anything anymore? I mean, if you want to sober yourself up as to what's wrong with America, look at some of the documentaries that are on YouTube about what America did to win World War II, what we did domestically, what we did with our industries, how we built the armaments. When we went into World War II, we had only a fraction of the arms that Adolf Hitler had, just a fraction of them. But within a very short time, we were turning out more guns, more aircraft, more tanks, more trucks, more ammunition than Hitler could. And when it came to casualties, our casualties stayed around, well, about 500,000 people. 500,000 Americans lost their lives when our enemies were losing tens of millions. Big difference. We not only fought harder, we fought smarter. Now you compare what we accomplished back in those years. It's not all that long ago. We're talking 80 years ago. And you look at what we are producing today, we're producing nothing but garbage. And it's because in the minds of our young people, we are producing nothing but garbage. Indoctrination. No useful skills, no useful thinking, no useful policies. It's nuts. And Bill Maher is a perfect example of that. What does Bill Maher produce? Nothing really, just a bunch of rhetoric. Of course, the same could be said about me. I just happen to be on the right side of things. But Bill Maher has his head so firmly implanted up the backside of the Democrat Party, he can't even listen to this guy. Here's the clip.
What are your feelings on the election coming up? I mean, Biden and Trump, are you as depressed about that as most people, as a choice?
My feeling is pick your policy, not your person. Find out. This is not the Dallas Cowboys versus your favorite team. This is the policies that will affect our generations for the next 20, 30, 40 years to come. So close your eyes, listen to the policies that are being pushed, and pay attention even to the people who don't have a chance of winning, because they're going to say policies you may want to push. And I would say do that, but make it policy-based.
So that means you're for...
That means I'm for black people and happy Black History Month.
But you're not saying one candidate over the other?
Hey, man, my nigga, you ain't going to get me in no trouble tonight.
No, that's your job with me, get me in trouble.
My grandfather gave me some stellar advice sometimes. He said, son, sometimes you just got to know to stay out of white folks' business. This time, I'm going to keep my mouth closed. I still like the policy that the old man had that I was supporting. I would encourage people to find who's supporting that policy and see what
happens. But you can't get yourself to say vote for Biden over Trump?
You want me to list it now? So now
I'm just saying that.
Can he get himself to apologize for the crime bill? Can he get himself to get his head out of his ass and say, black people, you are black regardless. I need you to tell me what I need to do. Can he pick a coalition of former people who are affected by drug laws, street gangs, recidivism and crime, and say, I need you as a board to advise me how to fix federal prisons? If he can do that, absolutely I can. So my challenge is out.
So you got to hand it to Killer Mike there. He wouldn't take the bait. I love that part. But Democrats are losing the black community. And Killer Mike isn't the only rap star who can see that. Everyone was better under Donald Trump. And black Americans understand that better than anybody else. 50 Cent is starting to show the love to Donald Trump. See, what happened was Trump forged ties with the rap world. You remember that? Right off the bat, when he was elected in 2016, started working with Ye and Kim Kardashian on criminal justice reform. Really worked with him. It wasn't rhetoric. He actually did things. He helped get ASAP Rocky out of a Swedish prison, issued presidential pardons to Lil Wayne and Kodak Black. And 50 Cent recently slammed Democrats for New York City's $53 million program to hand out prepaid credit cards to illegal aliens. You know, the people in the south side of Chicago are just incredibly angry now. They're on the verge of revolution because of all the freebies that are being given to illegals. They even, on the south side of Chicago, even reopened a closed high school, and they're using that for shelter for illegal aliens. Free shelter. This is stuff that Americans can't get. So, I don't know. 50 Cent, quoting him, he says, What the F, Mayor Adams? Call my phone. I don't understand how this works. Somebody explain. I'm stuck. Maybe Trump is the answer. Well, I think Trump is the answer. But he's the answer to more than just fixing what's happening on the surface. He fully intends. I don't know if he can do it. I really don't. I would love to say, oh, man, Trump can do this. He can drain the swamp. I don't know. I think the swamp is way bigger than even Donald Trump is. But at least getting him in there for a few more years just to call attention to this is worth more than my vote. To the Comedy Corner. We've had him on before. He is incredibly funny. His name is Larry Omaha, probably America's best-known Native American comedian.
Oh, my great-great-grandmother was the daughter of a Yaqui chief, Standing Deer. My great-great-grandfather was a son of Zapotec leader, Benito Juarez. And because of that mixture of cultures, that intermingling of indigenous bloodlines, I stand here tonight looking like Jackie Chan. Everywhere I go, I get mistaken for belonging to another cultural group. When I was born, my dad said, holy crap, we had a Korean. Everywhere I go in Tokyo, they thought I was Japanese, talking to me in Japanese. One thing I did understand, they were bragging their country was becoming Americanized. I said, what are you talking about? No one here even speaks Spanish. Everywhere I go in Alaska, they treated me like family, as if I was a long-lost brother. And after looking around, I understood. I am pretty sure Eskimos are just freeze-dried Navajos. Tell you, man. They have gangster rapper Eskimos, man. I met the real Ice Cube. Things I have to do. I did a show at UCLA. Professor came up, said he could determine my ancestry by the structure of my cheekbones. That's embarrassing when guys look back there. Freaks. Freaks everywhere, man. But I'm happy to be alive because childhood wasn't easy. Yeah, we didn't have anything, man. All our toys were donated, defective toys. I had a Scrabble game with no vowels. How many points for g-g-g? Even my model cars were up on blocks. Roaches would leave our house pissed off. I hated Halloween. Most kids love Halloween, dress up as Mickey Mouse, Spider-Man, Batman. My father would dress me up as an immigration officer. Take me trick-or-treating in the Mexican neighborhood. 5 years, I got no candy. Went around the neighborhood banging on doors. I know you're in there. The things we had to deal with. We made up games like, tag, you got smallpox. My Caucasian buddies complained that they came from a broken home. I said, hey, I came from a torn tent.
Make it a marvelous Monday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. Hey, be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.